nurture and support. Nurture and support. This is a podcast theme song. And it's really short.
Nurture and support begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Nurture and Support, sharing all the awesome since 2013. I'm Kelly Toole at KellyThul on Twitter. And with me, as always, advancing the Amazon Prime Directive is Mel.
Hey, everybody. I'm Mel at Karmic9 on Twitter. And I come to you today with possibly a lot of background noise of kittens. So I'm going to apologize in advance. The kittens, you know, don't mind me very well. So.
Yeah. We're a user-driven show. You know, it's our customers that we care about, and I think we had been hearing they wanted more cat background noise, so we've got that ready to go. And then we also know loud and clear people go, shorter's better. The less of you we have to listen to, the more we like it. So so we may do a nice quick episode today. We shall see. But
yeah,
looks like I start things off today, and I'm going to recommend, still eating at me that Mel's got the oldest recommendation, but I'm yet another show goes by where I don't address it, and I won't address it this week. But it is a documentary. It's on Netflix, and it's called An Honest Liar is the name of the documentary, and it's the story of the amazing Randy, James Randy. So James Randy is a pretty interesting character historically. You get the storyline through the process that he, growing up, realized he was a little different than children in some of his interests, and those interests were not going to play well with his parents or family or whatever, so he kind of didn't really reveal any of that. But he said he had, and this is unbelievable to me, he said he had two conversations with his father his entire childhood, where his father pulled him aside and talked to him. And so, interesting family dynamic. However, around 16 or 18, he had seen, I believe it's Henry Blackstone, the magician, and he was just amazed by it and said, this is what I want to do. So he took off and joined the circus at, I think, 16, left home at that point in time. And initially was played a mentalist and a psychic, you know, did those kind of characters, and a magician, and eventually kind of came down to the point of realizing, you know, when you're actually deceiving people, it's wrong. And so he kind of got out of the kind of bluff psychic kind of thing, and flipped over to debunking them, which is actually something you see a lot. Harry Houdini, for most of his career, was doing magic, and then towards the end, he was mostly going out trying to debunk all of these folks that were running seances and stuff like that. So he became very, very active in that. And so this documentary basically just covers his life story. And it was actually really interesting. As you would expect from any recommendation from me, there's an Alice Cooper connection. That is, the Amazing Randy toured with the original Alice Cooper group in 1973 for the Billion Dollar Babies tour. Billion Dollar Babies was the Alice Cooper album that celebrated excess. That was really the whole, the group had started to have a lot of notoriety, their albums were really selling well, and the theme, Billion Dollar Babies, previous recommendation on Nurture and Support, Big Snake Skin Wallet, was all about excess. And there's a little brief snippet of Alice in concert in his lovely leopard skin platform boots during the era, which is a nice touch. Then a cut to kind of closer to more contemporary Alice talking about Randy, and said, you know, this whole show and concert was about excess. And so if you're going to, and this is where they first introduced the guillotine into the stage show. I said, so if you're going to introduce kind of doing illusions and those types of things, you might as well go with the best because it's all about excess. So we went with the Amazing Randy. And so he helped them with all the kind of little stage tricks that were done in the Billion Dollar Babies tour. In addition, he played the evil dentist in Unfinished Suite, Alice's big battle with the giant dancing tooth, and the dentist that comes out and with a huge dental drill, and the video, kind of video, that they shot for Unfinished Suite with Alice also features the Amazing Randy as the dentist there. He did a guest spot on Happy Days. So there you go. So he's, And it goes by. So this is all interesting in the cover, and he did not like Uri Geller at all, and there was a lot of Uri Geller's in this, a lot in terms of a little bit of the back and forth between the two. So it's very interesting to see kind of what he does and the lengths that he would go to prove things wrong. Yeah, to whether it is to debunk somebody or when there are scientists, like scientists kind of certified Uri Geller as there's something here, he did some things to kind of debunk the method that the scientists used to verify. So it's all really, really interesting.
And who is Uri Geller?
Uri Geller was a psychic very big in the 80s that was, you know, on The Tonight Show and Merv Griffin and all these things. He could bend spoons and...
Yeah,
and
I'd probably know him if I saw him. Okay.
Yeah, kind of. He's from Israel, kind of a dark-haired gentleman and thin and really charismatic. But he would, you know, he was, this isn't trickery, this is that. But basically, he would come on a show, and he was on some show with Barbara Walters where he bent a key. And then the Amazing Randi came on Barbara Walters later, a show a couple weeks later, and she goes, I still carry this key because I used to be a skeptic, but then he did this, and that made me a believer. And so what the Amazing Randi was doing at this point in time is he'd basically follow Uri Geller on any show he was on and do the same thing. He goes, oh, really? So give me another key. And he goes, like this? Did it bend like that? Are you going to keep this key? To show that it could be accomplished by trickery as well. What I did not realize, and kind of start off at the beginning where I had mentioned that he realized he was kind of different than a lot of the other kids, is James Randi's gay, and there's a gentleman from Puerto Rico, an artist that he utilized to perpetrate a scam around saying, you know, there were a lot of these New Age people saying, I'm possessed by the spirit of a 40,000-year-old soldier and all these things. He goes, well, you can't prove that they're not. I mean, it's just you can't really do that. However, what you can do is I can prove that anybody could fool you. So he basically worked with this Jose gentleman to create Carlos, who was supposedly channeling, kind of doing this New Age thing, and on a bunch of put a press kit together, completely bogus articles that nobody fact-checked, and did some stuff in the United States, went down to Australia, and eventually did the big reveal to say, hey, this was all fake, to kind of just prove, you know, this stuff, you can pull it off, people will believe anything you tell them, type of thing, if you do it the right way. Mm-hmm. But Jose and he struck up a lifelong relationship at that point in time in terms of becoming partners. And so it was kind of an interesting backdrop that it was something that he really, I don't know if he could call it hide. He certainly never made it public, and he didn't actually come out until, I think they said 2010. And so it was just kind of an interesting thing to see how this was kind of he had a secret, if you will, going on, and he was about, you know, the truth and debunking and all these things. And so it's all very kind of interesting. You get some idea of the complexity of him, and you're also just really struck that these are two very, I mean, very different, age-wise, really big difference, and backgrounds different, and you know, one's an artist and one's kind of more of a hardcore science magician guy. Mm-hmm. And but just it was they were somehow they were clearly kindred spirits, and so there's kind of that story of their relationship, and then just Randy's history and all those types of things, and you get Alice Cooper stopping by in the middle. So what more can you ask for?
Cool.
So I enjoyed it. About an hour and a half. A long documentary, mm-hmm. Pretty enjoyable. I got concerned, this isn't really a spoiler, but I got kind of concerned because a lot of this documentary was kind of about honesty and different angles on that. And then there was an interview towards the end where he goes, I'm telling you this, but I'm telling you this because I trust you, and this cannot be in the documentary. This can't be in the film. I would refuse to do it if you would ever consider putting this in the film, but I trust you, so I know you're not going to put it in. And I was just, at that point, I was like, oh, what a jerk. But they did in the credits at the end. So it's a minor spoiler, but I think it's worth it because it, you know, it kind of started to spoil the documentary for me at that point because I was like, it seemed like an unfair choice. Mm-hmm. But it turns out at the end, they had a little tag on the end and they said, James Randi approved the use of all in caps interviews included in this. So I think he came around as the particular topic he talked about resolved itself. Mm-hmm. He came around to being okay with it in there. But it's just at the time, you know, you got somebody saying, but you're not going to put it in there. And the guy behind the camera is like, no, you're right. Yeah. I won't. That's just like, you jerk.
Yeah. So, yeah.
But apparently James Randi had a change of heart and it was okay to include that. And I'm glad he did because it gave a couple other pieces of information. So it's kind of fun. He's an interesting character. It's an interesting story. So it's pretty fun to watch it. And like I said, you get a little Alice. So anytime you get a little Alice, it's a good thing.
And I've looked him up real quick, and I have to say, I find it very interesting that he's a magician, and he looks like Gandalf and Dumbledore.
He does. He definitely has that going. And through most of this current footage of, at that time, the current footage, this was 2014 was when this was released. The dude was sporting some massive eyebrows. I mean, massive eyebrows. Very, very wizard, Gandalfian, Dumbledore-ish kind of monster eyebrows. So, but he's a cool character. So it's an interesting story. Lots of different angles to it, and just kind of a little fun one. So that's my recommendation for this week.
Cool. Kelly, you make me feel all stupid with all the documentaries you watch. I don't watch many documentaries anymore. I add all the ones that you tell me about to my Netflix queue, though.
Well,
I haven't logged into Netflix in a while.
Yeah. Well, we've had a pretty long pause on our social media recommendations, but I have one coming up for that may just fit the ticket, because if you can't fit in an hour and a half, you can probably spare 4 minutes, right?
I can,
hopefully. So just put a pin in that. We'll come back to that.
Okay. So I think my recommendation this week is super fun too. I'm breaking a small promise I said about no more games. This one's an app. It's an app, but it's also a game. Any of you with one of those soulless iOS devices, as Kelly likes to call them, probably have seen this on the iTunes store recently. I'm sorry, the kittens are getting a little rambunctious. It's actually at the top of the charts of the free list right now. So it's free. Shocking for me. Shocking. I don't normally recommend a lot of free things. So are you ready?
What section in the App Store would I find this free?
It's in the games.
In the game section. Okay.
Yes. It's a game. It's a game. It's Fallout Shelter by Bethesda. It is a free game. It's amazing, and it's a fun game, and it's free, and there's nothing in the game that tries to get you to spend money on it. Now, there are things you can buy with real money, but there's so far, I have not found it necessary to have to buy something with the game to be able to play it, so that's really cool. That being said, I will admit that I have gone and bought one of the little packs, because I like to support things that I get for free. It's fun. But anyway, so Fallout Shelter, and if you're not familiar with the games, the PC games that this is based on, which I shouldn't say PC because they're also available on console, it are the Fallout games that Bethesda made several years ago, which there's a Fallout 4 coming out soon. Yay! But it's post-apocalyptic. Essentially, you're in a vault, which is kind of like an arc in the ground, like all of us think of as a sort of like a nuclear silo type thing. It's a vault in the ground. And to play the game, you are given the title of Overseer, and you are building the rooms in your vault and attracting new dwellers. That's what your people are called, from the wasteland. And then you can also send dwellers out to scavenge in the wasteland. Now, you, I think, would like this game, Kelly, because it is very much like Tiny Death Star. It's got basically the same type of gameplay. It's not quite the tower that Tiny Death Star is, so it's not quite Tiny Tower. You've got a little bit more room and you have to build your own elevators. But essentially, it's the same premise. You've got to build living quarters for your people. You've got to build places for them to get food. You start out building a diner. You've got a power generator, a water treatment facility, things like that. And as you advance through getting more dwellers into your vault is how you unlock new rooms. It's based on your dweller count. Now, after you first start the game, you'll find that you get a few dwellers directly from the wasteland when you first start. And then they kind of dry up and you're like, oh, how am I supposed to get new people and to unlock these new rooms? Well, you can breed your little dwellers together.
Ah, there you go.
So, how you do this is you put a little boy dweller and a little girl dweller in the living quarters.
Who love each other very much.
Yes, yes. And they chit-chat for a little while. And then you know you're on to something when they start dancing.
Okay.
You watch them. They start dancing and you know they're getting close. They're getting close to sealing the deal. And when they're going to do that, then they go into the bedroom and you get little green smiley faces that cloud up over them. And then when she comes out of the room, no matter what outfit you've had her in, she is now in a baggy yellow maternity top with a big swollen belly. So
apparently the time cadence in this is...
Yeah, you know, they don't want you to have... We have very short attention spans, especially when you're playing an app on an iOS device. So, you know, they kind of have to speed this process up. So, just like in Tiny Death Star and those type of games, you are looking at the particular personality aspects and skills of your dwellers and determining where they would best be suited into what facilities to... make resources for you, because you have to generate power to power all of your rooms. If you've got a couple in one of the living quarters, you know, dancing and the power goes out, they stop. So you've got to keep the power on or you won't get any babies. One neat thing that's sometimes not immediately available is after you've got one of the dwellers pregnant and, you know, they're done, you can actually throw both of them back to work.
Oh.
Which is cool. Now, one tip here is, especially at the beginning, when you don't have a lot of weapons and you ask, what do you need weapons for?
You always need weapons.
This is the post-apocalypse, y'all. You always need weapons. You will occasionally have to deal with rad roach infestations. They will be big, huge mutant roaches that will chew up through the supposedly metal floor of the vault and attack people. So your dwellers do need to be armed somewhat to defend themselves from the rad roaches. However, pregnant women and children throw their arms up in the air and run screaming from the room when these things happen. So, if you have equipped one of the women with a weapon and you're low on weapons, then you plan on her having a baby, you should take her weapon away because someone else is going to need it to defend against the rad roaches. I find this terrible. This is my only problem with the game is, you know, these poor women can't defend themselves. You know, it's bad enough they're pregnant in the apocalypse, but no, they can't even have a gun. So, that being said, it is quite funny when they throw their hands up in the air and they run around screaming, ah! It's cute. I like it. Anyway, children do not work. They just wander your vault aimlessly until they grow up. It takes about 8 hours for the pregnant woman to have the baby. And then I think it takes about another 8 hours for the child to actually become a level one adult. So your dwellers, of course, level up as they're working in the little rooms that you put them in, and you're unlocking more and more rooms. When you get a little bit of gear, which you can get by completing little daily quests that they give you. These are just little things. Sometimes it's like collecting a certain amount of food and you'll get caps which serve as the money. They're actual bottle caps from Nuka-Cola which is the sponsor of all of the vaults.
Oh, brought to you by.
Yes. Eventually, right now, when you get up to 100 dwellers, it unlocks the Nuka-Cola bottling factory that you can build.
Oh, sweet.
Yes. I haven't got there yet. I'm working on it, though. So caps serve as money in the wasteland and in the vault and everything, and you get rewarded caps for leveling up dwellers and things like that. You can actually sell some of the weapons and outfits that the people that you send out into the wasteland to scavenge can find. And I'll talk a little bit about more about them in a second. But the one thing that you can buy in the game are lunch boxes. And that seems corny, but if you have to be familiar with kind of the Fallout universe to know what I'm talking about here. I like to call kind of the style that they deal with here sort of retro futurism. The little Pip Boy, and I'll put pictures up on the blog post so that y'all can look there and see what I'm talking about if you're not familiar with Pip Boy. If you're familiar with Kip's Big Boy mascot, Okay.
Pip Boy. So it's Kip's Big Boy down in Texas.
In my area, it was a Kip's Big Boy. Yeah.
It's Bob's Big Boy in the Midwest.
So. Okay. Well, down here we were Kip's. Pip Boy is basically sort of taken after that. Looks kind of reminds me of that mascot. But to me, the whole thing sort of has this retro futurism sort of feel because it's very much styled like the 50s, the sort of space age type stuff that was being made in the 50s. So it's supposed to be all futuristic, but it's actually very old fashioned looking. That's sort of what retro futurism sort of looks like. So that's throughout the game and the stylistic of basically all of the Fallout games so far. And, You get lunch boxes occasionally by completing some of these daily quests. So sometimes they will award you a lunch box. Now, what's in the lunch box? You get four basically trading cards in the lunch box, and those cards award you various things. So it can be something like more caps, or you might luck out and get a resource that you are desperately in need of, like power or food. Occasionally, you will even get special dwellers from the previous type Fallout games, and they're pretty cool. You'll get weapons and outfits sometimes too, but you can earn these lunch boxes as these quests come up in game. But if you want to throw some money at them through the App Store, you can buy a pack with so many lunch boxes in it, and those. They were having a 4th of July sale, so that's when I bought mine, so I got a pretty good deal.
Oh, I bet you did.
I did, but I have to say, I haven't used them because I've only used the few that I've had in the game. I was curious as to see really how much, how necessary getting those extra lunch boxes was to the game. Now, if you buy the ones through the App Store, I think you're guaranteed to have a rare item in each lunchbox. So that's going to be a special dweller or a rare piece of armor or a rare weapon, something like that. So what you need all of this good armor and these good weapons for are when you send a dweller out into the wasteland, and I'll tell you, you can send two of them out at the same time. I did not know this, and I was only sending one out. They will find things while they're out there, but they're also getting attacked. Because this is the post-apocalypse. This is post-nuclear winter. We've got mutants and scavengers and crazy dogs and mutated bears. And you also have raiders. Shortly, the raiders will start actually attacking your vault as well. So you need to have some people armed there to fight off the raiders because they will get into your vault. So you are able to post some guards at the door.
Sweet.
That was something it took me a while to figure out. So, the longer that you leave one of your dwellers out wandering in the wasteland, the better gear they will find. But also, the harder the monsters they come into contact with are. So, if you don't give them a bunch of stim packs, which are your health boosters, or rataways, which are your radiation treatments, because it's post-nuclear winter here. There's a lot of radiation out there. So if you don't give them enough, they might not be able to make it, so you have to watch them. But they also have a quite amusing little chatter going on if you go to that screen, and you can actually read their moment-by-moment play of what they're doing out there and what they think about the things that they see, which is occasionally rather amusing. So I just like this game. I think it's got a cute character to it. It's got a few quirks that I like, but you know, I'm all about the apocalypse. So there's no zombies, but you have mutant roaches. So this is right in my wheelhouse. It's pretty fun. If you like Tiny Tower or Tiny Death Star, if you like those type of games, I think that you'll really like this one. And bonus, it's free. And I don't really think that you need to buy anything to actually play this game. I have not come across anything that I had to buy to actually get through any part of the game. And I'm over 80 dwellers now. So I haven't got my Nuka-Cola factory yet, but I'm almost there. So Fallout Shelter on the iTunes App Store, it will be available for Android, they are saying, sometime in August. But it is not right now. Right now it is iOS only.
It takes longer to code software with a soul in it. So that's why the delay.
You have to synthesize that soul and do some arcane rites and things like that, you know. Sacrifice a few goats.
Yep. Sounds cool. Yeah, I think I'll have to give that a shot because I'm still a big Tiny Death Star fan.
I opened it up for the first time in a long time the other day. So back to my Tiny Death Star ways.
It's a good one. Cool. Well, that does sound really fun. All righty. Didn't get a chance to check with you before we started the show. Is it just me for social media recommendation this week? Or
I had one, but I don't have it ready, so I will have one next time.
Okay, cool. I do have one today, and came into the conversation we had a little bit earlier around documentaries and the fact that I'm very open to flopping on a couch and sitting through an hour and a half to learn really important things about, you know, churches being built in Spain and
but they're cool. I mean, those are cool things. Yeah.
So this is, you can get all the coolness in a much more compressed way by my social media recommendation for this week, which is a YouTube channel that has upwards, it's just about to hit 2 million subscribers. So it's a popular YouTube channel, and it's CGP Gray. G-R-E-Y, CPG Gray, and he's just an explainer. He explains stuff, and usually less than 4 minutes. And so, like, if like I am, confused about, okay, there's England, Britain, United Kingdom, he just kind of lays it all out for you in a nice, straightforward way. And, unfortunately, because some of events, certain flag has been in the news a lot lately. It's on the top of the Duke boys' car.
Yeah.
And he just released his most recent videos about that. And there were many, many things I didn't know. Like, for instance, did you know that particular item that everybody's talking about is not and never was the flag of the Confederacy? I didn't know that.
No.
It goes back, and he really quick explains. So it started out initially, there was a place called the Western Florida Republic, which wasn't really even in Florida. It's in the Panhandle area, but it's really more Mississippi, which was a blue background flag with a white star in the middle. And that was the original flag that began to be adopted. And then as the Confederacy started to grow, they went to something, because the one that we were used to seeing, like on the Duke boys' car, a lot of people call the stars and bars.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's no bars on that. It's a star and a cross, because there was a stars and bars, which was a red, white, and red, those three broad stripes, and this blue background with the one star, which looks like kind of a 8-bit version of the American flag. And so So, but that was the original Stars and Bars, and so then there were different versions, and this the one that that's the topic of conversation now, was actually the Battle Flag, and then different variations of the Battle Flag were introduced into. They originally did a white flag and did the Battle Flag up in the corner where the stars are, and they're like, well, the problem with that is, you know, 80% of the flag is white, which is surrender, and so they had to modify that. So he just kind of runs through all the different pieces of the history there, things I didn't know about. I think at one point I had heard a little bit about that. I was going to mention, you know, he made a quick shout out to Texas because he was talking about, well, if you're a state, you're actually a state for life. Sorry, Texas. but then he has a whole nother one dedicated to can Texas secede or not. And so it covers a lot of the Republic of Texas stuff and all that. But it's done. Very factually, it's there's illustration, so it's kind of an animated type of thing. It's not real hokey animation. I mean, it's simplistic animation, but it kind of illustrates the story. He talks at a pretty good clip, but it's easy to understand, and it's just delivered in a really, really great way. And nearly 2 million other people think so. But I'd recommend it because you can learn some stuff. Like I learned a whole bunch about the Confederate flag in 4 minutes that I had no clue about. So
cool, huh? I'm gonna have to check that out.
So that's a fun one.
You've already spoiled it that he tells us that Texas can't secede from the Union.
At least in his opinion, I didn't get to the end of it before the show here today, but I think he was heading down that road. Yeah. So we shall see.
Anybody cares if they can legally secede or not when they decide they're going to secede.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I think.
I don't
I think
care what your constitution says. Yeah, no, we would never secede, no matter how much we say so. There are sane people in Texas, y'all. I just want to let you know. There are sane people in Texas. Don't believe the crazy politicians that are on the news. Not all of us are crazy. I know quite a few of us that aren't. I know a few that are, but quite a few of us aren't crazy. So, I promise.
Yeah, you're not crazy, so
that you know.
That's one. That's one. Yeah, at least on the show. So we got that. Shortly here, there we have Matt sitting in his oversized yellow maternity blouse, and he's going to be telling you how you can connect to us through YouTube, which I'd like to point out, if you go to our, it's on my YouTube channel, there's a Nurture and Support playlist, which we may want to start putting a link into on the blog post, but it is now, I'm proud to say, up to date. It has up till the last release, episode of Nurture and Support's out there, so you can get to all of the Nurture and Support's on YouTube, if that's one of the ways you like to consume the information. And now that I've kind of caught up on the backlog and we're trying to do a pretty good job, we release on Fridays, and then what I'll try and do that Friday over the weekend is get it up on YouTube as well. So fairly quickly, whether it's on iTunes or through our blog or Stitcher, however you do it, you'll be able to do it. But Matt will fill you in with all that information in a moment. So I'd like to thank everybody for listening again this week.
Thanks, everybody.
See ya.
You can contact us on our website, nurtureandsupport.net, or email us at nurtandsup@gmail.com. That's nurtandsupp@gmail.com, or tweet us at nurtandsup on Twitter. You can also catch Nurture and Support on YouTube. Just search Nurture and Support or Kelly Toole.
Nurturing and supporting.